1 Samuel 17, stand with me please, as I read, beginning in verse 37. It's a long chapter, but I'm not going to read it all. Beginning in verse 37. David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put a helmet of brass upon his head, and also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, "I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them." And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand, and chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David. And the man that bare the shield went before him. I'll leave off reading there. Look back at verse 39 this morning. David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. Essayed to go just simply means he tried to go. He worked at going, but he couldn't do it because he had not proved it, the armor. David said unto Saul, "I cannot go with these. I have not proved them." And David put them off him. I want to preach to you this morning, pre-proven or perilous. Let's pray. Father, I pray for your help this morning. Bless your word. Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit. God, fill this place with power, unction. I pray, Father, that we would listen on purpose. Oh, Lord, I pray that these would be thoughts that your people would be able to comprehend and Lord, begin to even put in practice. And I pray it would be a blessing and encouragement to each one of them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. David was on the brink of facing the giant Goliath. Many of you have, obviously, I think probably all of you have heard this story about David and Goliath. David had come to the camp there, or to the soldiers of Israel, the army of Israel, the host of Saul. He had seen what was going on. He came to give his brother some cheese, and some bread, some food, some rations. And he saw this Philistine, this enemy of God, cursing God, cursing God's army, slandering, scoffing, mocking, just making fools out of God's people. He began to get his blood began to boil, let's put it that way. And he got upset that this Philistine, this uncircumcised Philistine, meaning this Gentile, would defy the armies of the living God. He began to get upset. He decided that he was going to do something about it. However, his older brother said, "What are you? You're just a little shepherd." And then Saul told him, look in verse 33, the king, King Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth." So he had to do some convincing of those people around him that he was going to go do this thing. He was going to go fight this giant. He had to finally come to the king. And now he did the right thing. He went to the king. He did not have to go to the king, but he went to the king, Saul, the captain of the Lord's host there. And he said, "I'm going to go fight this man." And Saul said, "No, you can't. You're just a kid. This is a giant. This is a champion of the Philistines' army. This is a man of war. He will devour, he will kill you." But David was determined. David was dedicated, determined. He had decided that he was going to do this. And he convinced Saul, even finally, look in verse 38. Verse 37. David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go." He convinced the king. He convinced everybody else. He convinced Saul. He finally would go fight the giant. And as soon as that happened, however, Saul, the king, decided, "Well, here, David, you're going to need my armor. You're going to need my armor. You're going to need my helmet, my breastplate, my sword, my armor. If you see there in verse 38, Saul armed David with his armor, with his own armor. The Bible says that David is said to go. That's not a word that we use very often, but that's our text verse for today. He put it on. I mean, he put it on. He began to try to move and go to fight the battle, and he realized, I can't wear this. I can't use this. I've never proven this. It's almost like when you go to buy a pair of shoes, or maybe some new clothes, or maybe not new clothes, but clothes. And you try them on, hopefully. Maybe it's a wise thing to do to try them on. And you put on a pair of shoes and you realize that maybe your toes need a little more room in the front. And you can't, you know, your toes are like this in the shoe. You're like, I can't wear these shoes. I can't walk in these shoes. I mean, this will cripple me. Or you put on a pair of pants that's way too tight, and you say, oh, I can't wear these pants. Especially after Christmas holidays, right? Or maybe a pair that's too big, and it's like they're hanging and dragging the ground, and you can't go. You say to go, but you realize, I can't wear these. These ain't right. It's basically that in essence, that's what's going on here. After wearing the armor for a few minutes, and it kind of moving around a little bit, and seeing how it fit, he realized, I can't do this. I can't wear this armor. He couldn't use the helmet. He couldn't use the breastplate. He wasn't skillful at using the sword. He was a shepherd. He would be later in life. I mean, David, we know later he came to be a great warrior with a sword, but he couldn't use it right now. He was just a kid. He was just a shepherd boy at this time in his life. Let me say something to you new Christians right here. You don't need to get discouraged just because you don't know how to use the sword like everybody else does. Okay? This is the Bible. This is the sword of the Spirit of God, the Bible says. This is our sword. This is our weapon against Satan. But as a new Christian, David was just a young kid, a young man, a shepherd boy. He did not know how to use King Saul's sword. King Saul had been using that sword for years. Let me just use this as a help for you young Christians that haven't been saved very long. You don't need to be discouraged because you don't know everything about the Bible, because you don't know everything about how to use the Bible, or you don't know as many verses as somebody else does. Don't get discouraged, because it will come if you will keep coming. Okay? It will come if you will keep coming. The proven way for you to get to know the sword is the same way it has been for anybody else that's ever been saved. Okay? I didn't know everything about the Bible at first. Neither did she or he. We all had to come and just be around it and submit ourselves to it and make it a priority in our life. The proven way, follow what you see others do, and you'll learn how to use the sword. Follow what you see other people do around you in church, and you'll learn how to use the sword. And then sooner, one of these days, you'll be teaching someone else how to use the sword. So don't get discouraged. David was going to become very apt at using the sword, but he wasn't right now. He was a shepherd boy. He had never been a soldier. He had never been a warrior yet. So what happened here is interesting. He took it off. The Bible says in verse 39, at the end of the verse, David put them off him. He took them off and went down to the brook. He loaded up his shepherd's scrip, his shepherd's bag, with 5 smooth stones, and he had his slingshot, and he went out into the battle. You say, preacher, has you ever been curious about why David loaded up his bag with 5 stones? There was only one giant. There was only one giant. Why did David load up his bag with 5 stones? You say, well, he lacked faith. No, not at all. I don't believe that at all. I believe David was just prepared. I believe David was getting himself prepared. I believe there was a lot of stones laying around there at that brook, and David realized that there's one giant down there, but you know, why not take as much ammunition as I can? Maybe he couldn't fit a whole lot more than 5 stones in his bag. Those shepherd's bags weren't very big. They were just to carry a little bit of rations for the shepherd. They weren't big enough. And these stones, we don't know how big. I don't think they were that big. I think they were stones. And the Bible says they were stones, not pebbles. So he put, I believe he loaded up his bag with as many as he could get in there, and his bag was full when he went out to the battle. Folks, there's nothing wrong with being prepared. It's wise to be prepared when you know you're going into battle. You need to have as much ammunition as you possibly can before you leave your house in the morning, because you're going to battle. You're going to be out in the battlefield every day of your life out there in that world. Goliath is nothing more than a type of Satan, and he's everywhere you look. And you need to have as much of your ammunition fiery, ready, loaded, ready to go as you can, taking advantage of everything God has given you to defend yourself and to fight Satan. Are y'all listening to me this morning? Is anybody here? Okay, this is a good time, boys, young men, to say amen right there. Amen. Thank you. God gave us brains. Now, you don't have to say amen right there. God gave us common sense, folks. And when we have an enemy the size of Goliath, we need every weapon that God can give us, and we need to use it. We need to have it ready. We need to have it prepared. We need to have it. By the way, wisdom is not a whole lot. Many times, it's not much more than common sense. Understanding. The Bible says, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. Godly common sense. Understanding that there is a big giant out there. Wisdom would be that I should arm myself with everything that I can to get ready to fight that battle. Fight that giant. However, those are just side notes this morning. I'm going to get to a few things here. What I want to focus on for a few minutes here is this. Why would David turn down the king's armor for a slingshot? Why would David turn down the king's armor for a slingshot? And here is the answer, because he had not proved it. The theme for this year is prove all things. He had not proved, he had not pre-approved, he had not ever used that king's armor, that king's sword, that king's helmet, that king's breastplate. Listen, he didn't know if it was going to work, because he'd never used it before. He didn't say, by the way, he didn't say, I don't know how to use this. He simply said, I can't use this. The difference is, he could have learned how to use it. How do I know that? Because he did learn how to use it later. But in this case, he did not know how to use that right then and there. He didn't know if it was going to work, because he had never used it before. For him, it was like trying something new when he already had something else that he could use that he had already proven to be effective. In our lives, listen, we need to be careful to prove all things. We need to learn what God has given us and what works, and we need to stick with that. Look at me, church, look at me this morning for a minute. Everybody's always going to have ideas, other things and other ways that you can serve God. They're always going to have their own opinions, their own doctrine, their own little tricks and things that they're always going to have their little input. Everybody's got an opinion, at least one. I'm not going to say everything else to that little statement, but everybody's got opinions about what they think you should do, how they think you should live your Christian life, how they think you should fight Goliath, how they think you should go about living and being a Christian, how they think. And by the way, let me say something to you. Everybody that does those and says those things is not going to be necessarily your enemy. They're just Saul wasn't David's enemy yet. They just don't understand that God has already given you a proven way, and you need to stick with what works. You need to stick with what you've already proven, and you've already seen already other people proven to work in their lives. David didn't say, well, I'll never be able to use this. Or he said, I don't know if this will work, because I've never seen this work. I haven't proven this. He didn't need to learn another way. He didn't need to learn another way. He already had a proven way. He told the king, I have killed a lion and I have killed a bear. Now, we don't hear of a slingshot in those two stories. But I have to believe it's in there. He said, look in verse 36, thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. Let's read verse 35. I went out after him, the lion, and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. Now we don't know exactly. The Bible says he used his bare hands on the one, but what about the other one? I just believe, based on the fact that he went out and got a slingshot for Goliath, that he had already used a slingshot to kill wild animals in his father's sheep, who were trying to attack his father's sheep. So he was saying, I don't trust this armor, Saul. I've never used this armor, Saul. This is something completely foreign to me. I'm going to stick with what I know works. I'm going to stick with what I've seen work in my own life. See, he had already proven that slingshot. He had already proven it. I think David was probably telling Saul, you know, I don't think your armor is the answer, Saul, because it hasn't helped you any. Now stop a minute. He said, Saul, you've been sitting up here with this armor for 40 days. And that Goliath has taunted and mocked and scoffed and defied you and laughed at you and called God everything but holy. And this armor hadn't done anything for you. You're not fighting Goliath. You're not doing anything for God. You're not living for the Lord. Now you're trying to make me wear your armor? I don't think so. Everybody's got opinions about how you should live your life and how you should serve God and how you should walk and how you should talk and how you should live, how you should dress and how you should act and what you should do with your money and how you should. And everybody's got their opinions based on what they think works. But all you got to do is take one step back and look at their lives. Does their life bear fruits of holiness? Well, if it don't work for them, they're just trying to make you like them. It ain't going to work for you either. Saul sitting up there cowering in the ditch for 40 days, running from Goliath. He's head and shoulders above all of the other men. He's the man of God. He is the king of all of Israel. He's the captain of the host of the armies of God. He ought to be leading the attack against Goliath, wearing his armor. However, his armor is laying somewhere over here on the side, neatly stacked up where he can give it to David. Now, David was just a shepherd boy, but he obviously wasn't an idiot. It hadn't worked for you, Saul. What are you trying to do? Kill me? It ain't going to work for me either. Folks, listen to me. David did not use Saul's armor because David had problems with Saul's armor because obviously it had not worked for Saul either. You can't follow everybody that says they're a Christian. Look up here for a second. Pay attention now. Don't daydream. You're drifting off into another atmosphere. You can't follow everybody that says they're a Christian. Well, are they? Yeah, they can be saved. But you can't follow their methods of living just because they say so. You need to follow what's proven. Proven already. David said, "Well, I'm not the king here, Saul, but I'm not using the armor that obviously hasn't done anything for you." Let me just make a few statements this morning, and we'll go home. Number one, the proven way is not the popular way. The proven way is not the popular way. Hey, listen up. Look, all of those soldiers had the same armor. None of them had done anything. Is this thing on? All of those soldiers had the same armor. Are y'all alive today? None of them had done anything against Goliath. They all had helmets and breastplates and shields and swords and armor for the battle. They look like they look like soldiers, but yet they were not doing anything for God. Hey, can I tell you something? Listen to me. I don't have time to read it, but the Bible describes Goliath having the exact same armor. Are you listening to me? Yes. Goliath, the enemy, had armor too. Everybody had this armor. Everybody's doing it, preacher. Everybody says it's okay. Everybody seems to like it. All the other churches are doing it. The proven way is not the popular way. Amen. The proven way is usually unusual. Matter of fact, it was very unusual, even weird, even laughable to this. Look in verse 42. When the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. I mean, he just railed on him. For he was but a youth and ruddy and of fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? You're coming to me with sticks and stones? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Oh, wow. Now look, folks, all of that was because he came at him with, the word staves is a stick, it's a staff. Remember the Bible says he took his shepherd's staff, his shepherd's rod, and he took his shepherd's bag, and he had a staff in one hand, and he had a slingshot in the other, and he was coming out to face a giant fully armored, and that giant just laughed at him, called him every name under the sun. If he would have come out there with some armor on, it wouldn't have been so funny.
Sure, believe in God and be useful in what you have knowledge of.
The proven way, exactly, is the narrow way. Let me read to you. Don't turn there. Just let me read to you in Matthew 7. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Many on the Broadway, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. Few there be that find it. Few in comparison to the many. Few in relation to the many. The straight and narrow way is a small way, and few there be that find it. And many, 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 many are going down the Broadway to destruction. That's a beautiful reference to salvation. The gate is Jesus Christ. The door is Jesus Christ. The way, the truth, and the life is Jesus Christ. However, there's still a narrow way to abundant life in this world, in this present life. It's the proven way, Miss Ingrid. It's the Jesus way. But it's not popular. It never has been. It never has been. It's proven, but it's not popular. It never has been. The proven way makes people laugh at you like Goliath did. The proven way makes Satan scoff at you. And by the way, who was right, Goliath or David?
David.
Okay, then why do we believe Satan so much? Why do we believe Satan's lies? Why do we believe Satan when he laughs at it? By the way, well, I can't see Satan. No, but you can see all kinds of people that are serving him telling you all of their opinions and laughing at you when you're trying to do right.
That's right. Amen.
You might as well see Satan because they're tools, they're puppets in his hand. And they're saying things to you that hurt. I mean, they're mean.
Amen.
And all you're doing is trying to do what you know works and what you've seen works and what you've been proven works and what you've seen other people tell you and the Bible says and you're following the pastor like the Bible says to do and you're following your preacher and you're following your teacher and you're doing what the Bible says to do, but everybody's laughing at you and they're calling you names and making fun of you. Well, who are you going to believe? That's the question. Who are you going to believe? These kids down here, they have to go to school. And I know for certain that that boy over there gives out tracts and invites people to church.
The intelligence that the Lord taught you.
And what that does is that creates a problem for him because they don't all like that. They don't all like that. But that's the proven way that his pastors told him the Bible says to do. Therefore, to be witnesses in all Judea, but Jerusalem, uttermost part of the earth. And so he's doing the best he can.
Amen.
But it's not the popular way. Number two, the next statement. The proven way is humanly weaker. the proven way is humanly weaker. If all we had to go on was the outward appearance here of a slingshot, a little shepherd boy, and a staff up against a champion killer with a humongous sword, if all we had to go on was human logic here, we would say, this is crazy. This is crazy. Humanly speaking, David is a dead man. Humanly speaking, David's lost his mind. Humanly speaking, he's an idiot. Let me remind you, church, humanly speaking, a dead Nazarene on an old rugged cross over 2,000 years ago does me no good at all. Humanly speaking, a man living homeless, without shelter, without any food, without any home, without anywhere to lay his head but a rock, going to a cross and dying for everybody else's sins that are spitting in his face, and humanly speaking, he's an idiot. He's crazy. He's dying. What good does a dead man do? But see, you got to stop looking at things humanly and start looking at things biblically. Biblically. Through the eyes of the Bible. I've heard somebody aptly put it, we got to put our Bible glasses on. And I got to look at things through the Bible glasses.
For a man that believes in God and the Lord God Almighty,
Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, the Apostle Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Now, how can that be? I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, however, I live. So which is it? Am I crucified or am I living? The fact is, you can't live until you're crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. So I'm not living anymore, but Christ is living in me, and I'm simply a vessel. I'm simply a container for Christ to live through me. The life that I now live in the flesh, which is just an earthen vessel, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. See, I'm crucified with Christ, but I'm living. That's how that death on the cross, because you can't have a resurrection until you have a death. You can't have a salvation until you die to your own flesh. You can't have an abundant life. You can't, and the proven way is humanly weak. I'm going to die first. I'm going to die to myself. I die daily, the Apostle Paul said. John the Baptist said, Jesus must increase, but I must decrease. How is that going to lead to anything but death? How is that going to lead to anything but weakness? That's the only way. That's the proven way to the abundant life. But humanly speaking, it looks foolish. It sounds foolish. Anybody would laugh at you. Brother Eddie, hush. Wait, brother. Just wait, brother. Wait. Shh. Wait. Okay, you're distracting everybody for a second, brother. Let me preach, okay? The Bible way is the proven way. Dying to ourselves. Dying to ourselves. The proven way is not popular. The proven way is humanly weaker. David did not go out there and match strength for strength with Goliath. He didn't match strength for strength. If he would put on Saul's armor, that's what he'd been trying to do. He would have been trying to match strength for strength. Let me try to give you. Some of you act like you're really not following me here. The Bible says to be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. See, what the average person is trying to do in this world is live the Christian life in an evil way. Trying to get the blessings of God by living just like everybody else lives. They're trying to overcome evil with evil. You can't overcome evil with evil. You have to die and let God overcome that evil with His goodness. Overcoming. God doesn't want us to just adapt. He wants us to overcome. God doesn't want us to just live and exist in the wilderness. God wants us to walk by faith. That's the next thought here. The proven way requires faith. How is a stone going to penetrate this giant's armor? See, listen to me, church. The proven way, very often, if not always, but very often, puts you in an impossible situation. Amen. Impossible. It wasn't just humanly weaker. It wasn't just unpopular. It was impossible that David win this battle this way. It was impossible. It required faith. And let me say this, and we'll jump right into the next one. The proven way, because of faith, listen now, puts God to fight for you. The proven way, by faith, gets God involved in the fight. Verse 37 in our text, David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear. We talk about David slaying a lion, slaying a bear with his bare hand. No, he right there, the Bible says the Lord delivered him. And he says, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. You see, his faith, listen now, although it was humanly weaker, he was never going to match strength with this giant. He was never going to overcome him with his own armor. He was never going to be popular. But by faith, he got God involved in the fight. Amen. By faith, God took over. When we trust God, David may or not been, listen, he may or may not have been aiming for that forehead, but either way, I believe David could have slung that sling straight up in the air, and that rock, God took care of that rock and landed it in that Goliath's forehead. Amen. Stone hit him. The Bible says he fell forward on his face. He was running towards David. The stone hit him and his momentum just carried him and he just went just like that. It was a stone. It wasn't a 30-06. It wasn't a cannon. It didn't blow him backwards. It was just a stone. It just penetrated his skull and sunk right into his brain. Boop, and he just went straight down on his face. David didn't do that. Could David have done that? That would have never happened without God getting involved. A stone bouncing off his head. I mean, that giant was huge. Yes, he had a helmet, and it didn't cover that enough, or maybe it did. We don't know. The fact is, David didn't do this. God did. Why? Because he did it the proven way. The proven way. He had already proven that God was able to do the impossible by faith. He had already proven that God was able to fight his battles for him. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9, listen now, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. The eyes of the Lord are constantly scanning the earth to find someone who has a perfect heart towards God, who is walking and living by the proven way of faith, and he's scanning the earth to find, and when he finds one, he says, okay, I'm going to fight your battles for you. I'm going to fight in your behalf. I'm going to fight on your side. From that verse, we have to understand then that he finds a lot of hearts that aren't. And if he's not involved in our fight, then humanly speaking, it's impossible. We're not going to do it. We're not going to make it. The proven way is not popular. The proven way is humanly weaker. The proven way is obviously puts you in an impossible situation. The proven way requires faith, and because of that faith, the proven way gets God involved in your fight for you. Matter of fact, he puts you behind him, and he said, "I'll take care of this. I'll take care of this. I'll take care of this." The proven way is always fatal to the adversary. Is this boring, y'all? The proven way is always fatal to the adversary. You're going to need this when you get in a battle. You ought to pay attention. The proven way is always fatal to the adversary. Look in verse 48 in our scripture there. "And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine." There, by the way, that's fervent in spirit right there. He ran to the army. He ran out to fight the battle. "And David put his hand in his bag, took thence a stone and slung it, and smote the Philistine in his forehead, and the stone sunk into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling, with a stone, smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David." He didn't do it the popular way, but it was fatal to the adversary. You know, without doing things God's way, you have no guarantee of victory. Without raising your children like God says, you have no guarantee that they're going to turn out. Without managing your finances like God says, you have no guarantee of making it match or stretch to the end of the month. Without managing your health the way God says, you have no guarantee of having strength. "As thy days, so shall thy strength be," God says. But not without the proven way. You have no guarantee of victory when you try to do things your way. The proven way is always fatal to the adversary. In other words, God always wins his way. Always. Always. He never lost. Has it ever done? He's never lost. And finally, I close with this thought. The proven way is always something you can do. It's always something you can do. This is the biggest problem, I think, probably right. I can't. David could not use Saul's armor. Matter of fact, Saul was a much bigger man than David. It was probably too big for the helmet probably came over his eyes like, ooh. And the breastplate's probably hanging down around his knees. And the sword's probably, and he can't hold the sword still. I can't use this junk. But he could do what he did.
Amen.
He could take his sling, take his scrip, his bag, take his shepherd's staff that he knew that he carried with him every day of his life, that he used all the time to fight off the predators of his father's sheep. He could do what he did. He couldn't fit in that armor. He couldn't make it work. It didn't fit. It was unproven. It was quite frankly, like I said, the title of the message was pre-proven or perilous. He hadn't proved it, therefore it was perilous. It was dangerous. It was going to be the death of him. But he could do what he did.
Amen.
It was the perfect fit for David. God has equipped you with everything you need, Christian. Everything you need. I still often remember, of course I know you do too, our dear departed sister, Miss Ophelia. And I've told you the stories before, but they fit here. She would come to church crying. What do I do? What do I do about my husband? He's so mean to me. So hateful to me. He comes home drunk and he calls me names and he's mean to me, Pastor. What do I do? I can't take this anymore. I can't handle this anymore. What do I do? He's gonna kill me. And she always used to say, he always hurts my heart. And I would tell her, and Miss Fogg would tell her, Sister Ophelia, you can't do anything. You have to trust God and let God do it. You have to love Him like the Bible says. You have to pray for Him like the Bible says. You have to submit yourself to Him like the Bible says. He wasn't physically abusive. He wasn't hurting her or anything like that. He was just hateful. Selfish, mean. So she used to get up in the morning, early in the morning, when he came home drunk, get up and make him a meal. And some of you ladies are like, there ain't no way, Pastor. Yeah, exactly. Well, but she could do that. And she did it. She couldn't fight him. She couldn't cuss back at him because that's not the answer. That's overcoming evil with evil. Now, God says overcome evil with good. She got up and she would cook him a meal when he was at his worst. You'll never guess what verse she claimed as her favorite verse before she died. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can do it. The proven way is still the right way. And you can do it. If you won't do it, then you won't see the victory. And neither would have David. When I've told you the story before, when she finally died, passed away, graduated to glory, really. She's much better off than we are now. I'm still jealous. No, I'll get to see her again one day. And if you're saved, you will too. But she went to heaven and her husband got saved. Finally got saved. He won't come to church. But here's what he told me after she died. She said, because they were, you know, at the funeral, everybody's talking about memories and all this other stuff. And her sisters were talking about how she used to go to do this and this bingo and this stuff and party and all this junk. And here's what her husband Joel says. Oh, no, no. She didn't do that anymore. She didn't do that anymore. She didn't go there anymore. Everything was different about her when she died. Everything was different about her after she got saved. Now, she could have just kept on living the same way that she had, kept on fighting, and she could have just maybe got a divorce and been like everybody else. But instead, she just kept loving him and praying for him, and he got saved, and he saw that, well, my wife is a different lady. She's a new lady. And she did what she could do. That's all God asks you to do. He doesn't give you anything impossible to do. You can do what He has proven works. You can do it. I can do it. You can do it.
Amen.
If God says, this is what I want for you, Amber, you can do it. Isn't that a blessing? God's not going to ask you to do something. And you say, well, I can't. I've never done that before. That don't mean anything. He never fought Goliath before either. But God said, do it my way. You can do what I tell you to do. And I will fight the battle for you. The adversary will die. You will see the victory. Stop trying to do it the popular way. Do it the proven way. The proven way. get a hold of God by faith. Obey His Word. How did Jesus beat Satan? Oh, He fought him tooth and nail with a sword. No, He died. He rose again in victory. The day I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I had conquered Satan forever. I have no fear of Satan anymore, any longer. And every battle that comes my way, every battle that comes your way, by faith, you can conquer and see the victory. You can.
Amen.
Through Christ, you can. But it's going to require that you be willing to be different. 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 Let's bow our heads. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.